Appreciate that. Pastor Adam said, Toby Mac and not Where's Waldo, right? It's kind of nice.
You feel more hip today, though?
I don't know about that. But truth be told, I had to go to the bathroom, so I stuck out there and went to the bathroom. And that's why I ended up over there. So praise the Lord.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah, there you go. I want to remind you, we had our first young adults Bible study on Friday night. And, you know, we are going to start with, for the entire year, just discipling and growing up in the Lord and who we are as we step forward in these decisions that we have to make in our lives at that time in our lives. And so we started with, oddly enough, because I just did a connect group, Holy Spirit, with the Holy Spirit. Because we can't make a good decision in this life without the guidance and leading and direction of the Holy Spirit. So if you missed, I want to encourage you to come out to our next Bible study. It's March the 8th. It is at our house. It's at 7 o'clock. We're in between 8:30 and 9. That is Kendall's birthday, so you're more than welcome to bring a gift for her for doing that on her birthday. So anyway, open your Bibles, if you would, please, to Proverbs chapter 4. I am going to start a new series, and it's going to last about 19 weeks. So, Pastor, if you want to go back to Mexico and come back next week, that's awesome, too. We'll take care of it. No, seriously, maybe just 1 or 2 weeks. But I'm not sure how it's going to come out, because there's this word that I've had, there's this word that I've studied, there's this word that I've allowed to be poured into me, and I want to share it with you, but I'm not sure how it's going to come forth. So I titled it Planting God's Garden, and that's where we're going to start today. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. Says it like this. It says, my son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life to those that find them, and they are health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So ask this question. Are his words important? If they're important are they? You know, he's talking about, my son, attend to my words, incline thy ear unto my sayings. The Living Bible version, I have it here, says it like this. Listen, O son of mine, to what I say. Listen very carefully. Keep these thoughts ever in your mind. Let them penetrate deep within your heart, for they will mean real life for you and radiant health. He's talking about his words. And the New Century Version says it like this. My child, pay attention to my words. Listen closely to what I say. Don't ever forget my words. Keep them always in mind. They are the key to life for those who find them. They bring health to the whole body. The whole body. Verse 22, New Century. Again, it's the key to life. They bring health to the whole body. Is this true or is this not true? Well, I can give you the answer to that. If it's in God's word, we believe it to be true. Amen. If it is true, then you and I need to be after some words. Not just any words, but his words in our life. His words and his sayings. Amplified says that they are healing and health. They are both. What is healing? Healing brings restoration. It means something was wrong and needs to be restored. But even better than healing is health. If I am walking in health by the word of God, I don't need healing. Health is where we should be walking. And how do we walk in health? We understand that his words, again, my son, attend to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. Let them, what is them? My words and sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them, my words and sayings, in the midst of your heart. For they, my words and sayings, are life to those that find them, and they are health to all of their flesh. In John chapter 6, verse 63, if you put it up on the screen for me, Jesus said it this way. It is the spirit that quickens, the spirit that makes alive. The flesh profits nothing. Anything we do out of our flesh, even read our Bible, doesn't profit us. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit. The words that I speak are spirit. They are eternal and they are life. This is Jesus talking about the words that he speaks unto you. Words with the God are never just for communication. Okay, words from God are not idle. They're not powerless. No, they are potent. And they go forth with power. You see, when God said in the beginning of creation, light be, he wasn't just saying. Right? You know, that's a phrase that we use sometimes. I was just saying. No, that's an idle word. God doesn't have any idle words. Every word that he speaks forth has power in it, has life in it. It is eternal, and it has the power to create and make effectual change. And so we got to understand this, that his words, he's exalted his word above his own name, it says in Psalm chapter 138. That's powerful for God to say that. He's exalted his word above his own name. So we got to understand that we should be seeking after his words. And it's not just words on healing that bring health, but it's all of his words. Our life, they are eternal and they are health to all of our flesh. We need to believe that. I can't exaggerate you to today the importance of his word and the level of honor that we should give it in our lives. I can't do it. How much do we respect the word? Do we give it a due place in our lives? I was talking to Megan yesterday at a birthday party at Jumpin' Joey's. If you've ever been to Jumpin' Joey's, it's a little chaotic, kind of like our game nights here. Although I've yet to bring in a blow-up house, but I might. You never know. You have to come and find out on March 9th. But anyway, 9th. Yeah. After Kendall's birthday. Yeah. So Kendall's birthday gets to have a Bible study at my house, and then she gets to go to a game night. And so her birthday is already planned. Honey, there you go. You can bring gifts there too. The more gifts you bring, the more I'm off the hook and the better I look. There you go. But I can't exaggerate the power of God's word. I was speaking and I was talking with Megan. I said, here's the issue, and we've all done it. How many people right now are laid up in a hospital watching TV? Or laid up in a hospital, and every time somebody comes visits them, they have to re-go over their diagnosis and what the doctor said and this and that and going ever. And yet there might be a Bible sitting right there next to them in the hospital bed. You know, Kenneth Hagin, he always said, you know, when he was lying on his deathbed, when he was around 16 years old, they want to bring him magazines and comics to read, and he'd always tell them, I don't have time for that. The answer for me is in the Word of God. That's a 16-year-old boy saying that. He said, I don't have time for that. You know it or not, and a lot of it's ignorance, but if we're laying up in a hospital, we don't have time to just sit there and watch the TV. I'm guilty of it too. In fact, when I was in the hospital, when I was Lifeline, when I was 16, Kenneth Hagin's age, I was just a spiritual. I was happy when they brought the puppy for me to play with. I was playing a Nintendo. Yeah, I wasn't anywhere near where he was and what he was looking for. So I didn't have an understanding of the importance of God's word in my life, that it was healing and it was health to all my flesh. It was spirit and life to me. Proverbs 4:22, that word health in the margin of my Bible and a lot of Bibles, it says it's medicine. Not like medicine, but it is medicine. God's words, God's sayings are medicine to us. Do we believe that? Well, we should. Do you and I value the word above what we think or what we've experienced in our life? God's word is spirit and life, and they will minister beyond what we are able to comprehend, what our minds can understand about them. You know, believe it or not, there's no limit to our minds. I know they say we use 10% of it, and people are so infatuated with this thing in our skull called a brain. Our brain is not our mind, okay? Just like our heart, as the Bible speaks, is not the thing that just circulates blood in our body. When we die, our heart is an organ, it's done. Our brain is an organ, it's done. But our mind is eternal. It's part of our soul. And there's no limit to what our mind can understand. And if we allow the Holy Spirit to speak to our spirits, understanding will only grow and we'll get greater depth. But it has to be a spirit-to-spirit thing. We see, just knowing something isn't faith. We have to understand it. It has to flow out of our heart. Because out of our heart flow the issues of life. Life comes out of our heart. So can you, as a human, as a person right now, can you take a pill from the doctor? Yes, I know that you can. Do you happen to know everything that's in that pill or how it works? Probably not. But can it still effectual make change in your body? Yeah. And that's man's medicine. Well, God's medicine is not too all unsimilar. We can receive it by faith into our heart. We don't have to understand all of it or know all of it, but it can start working effectual change in our hearts. But we got to get it there. We've got to get it planted. And that's where we're going. It says, Pastor Adam last week said in Hebrews 4, verse 2, that the word not mixed with faith, it doesn't profit anybody. But when we take faith and we mix it to the word of God, to the power that's in the words and the sayings of God, then it is life, then it is spirit, then it is health, then it is medicine to all of our flesh. But we have to add that power, we have to have a faith to that word. You know, I was teaching science for years. I always enjoyed showing this video because they wouldn't allow me actually to play with the chemicals, right? We didn't have the equipment necessary in West Middle School because it was built like in 1910 or something, and it never updated it. Until now. Now that I've left, they're building this nice new science wing in the lab. It's fantastic, right? But I used to love showing this video of alkali metals, right? Alkali metals like lithium and sodium and potassium and cesium and francium and rubidium. I know all of you knew that. I was just reminding you. But these alkali metals, they're in family one of the periodic table, and they have to be stored in oil. Now, you think about sodium, that's what salt is. But yeah, sodium by itself is a metal, and we don't eat metal typically, right? And it's a dangerous metal. If you take sodium, it has to be stored in oil. If you take it out of the oil and it reacts with the air or water around it, it'll spark, it'll catch on fire, it'll bubble. And as you go down the list of the periodic table from lithium on down to francium, it explodes the beaker if you take it out and put it in the water. You got to be behind a glass shield and all kinds of things because there's that much power in there. But that power is just sitting dormant inside of that oil until it is mixed with the air or the water. Well, that's the same way God's word is. Until it's mixed with faith, it's just a word. There are many people who read this word and get nothing from it because they're reading it according to their flesh. They're reading in the natural. I would encourage you, anytime you open up God's word, turn off distractions. Anytime you open up God's word, ask the Holy Spirit to reveal his thoughts and his understanding to you, for he's the one who wrote it. There's one voice throughout the entire Bible written over, oh man, here's my Bible quiz questions, over around 40 authors, over 1,600 years. Is that right, Rick? Thank you. These are Noah's questions. He's been studying these Bible quiz questions. But there's one voice. In the midst of 1,600 years, there's one voice, and it's the same voice today. How can you and I walk by the voice of the Lord today if we don't know what his voice sounds like? You're like, oh God, please show me. Oh God, please tell me. I want to hear your voice. If he were to speak to you in that moment, how would you know it was God? How would you know it was the Lord speaking to you if you've not yet heard his voice already in here? Because when he speaks to you, and he speaks in that witness of your heart, in your spirit, or maybe for you it's audible, that's fantastic. Tell me about it sometime. It lines up with the same voice that's spoken in his word right here. But we have to know it. A lot of us want all these words from God to just come from out of nowhere, out of the clouds, depart, and all of a sudden it's raining everywhere, but over you it's sunshine, and the Lord speaks to you directly. But he's already spoken to you so much in his word. And the Holy Spirit can't bring it to your remembrance until you put it in first. We got to plant ourselves with his word. I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm going to read Proverbs 4 again. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear to my sayings. We need his words and his sayings, his words. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life, they are health. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. It says, keep them in the midst of your heart. Keep and guard your heart, because the issues of life will flow out of it. What we plant in our heart is what we will water, and it will bear fruit, and we'll get a harvest from it. So the question is this, what are you planting in your heart today? What's in there? What life is coming forth out of your heart that others can see? That is there before the Lord. What we look at, what we listen to, what we ponder, these things, that's what gets in our heart. I studied science for a long time, 6 years. And so you're going to have to endure with me when I bring science stuff to you, because that's a lot of education that was poured in my heart, and it's got to be released somewhere, okay? And so I pondered it. I studied it. I paid a lot of money for it, okay? College education wasn't cheap, right? And so that's what comes out of my heart when you talk to me every once in a while. I mean, for example, I was just reading about global warming. Why? Because who doesn't, right? I mean, I do. And it just blows my mind, because it's such a fear-monger tactic that is going on right now, and about these gases, these greenhouse gases that are just warming everything up. And it's going crazy in the media with it. So I started looking into it. And they always talk about carbon dioxide being the warmhouse gas or the greenhouse gas that you and I can affect. Right? How? Well, we can get rid of our farting cows. That's one of them. That's in that new green plan, by the way. It says it. It's right in there in that green plan. And we can stop using coal, and we can stop using nuclear power and all this. So I started doing some research. Out of all of the gases that warm up this planet, 95% of the gas that warms up this planet is water vapor, and it's never talked about. Out of the water vapor that warms up the planet right now, I'm not denying the planet's not warming. You can't deny that. There's a trend to that. You can measure and study that. But it's the causes of it that is the issue here. There's a fear over here. The enemy wants to implant in you. And there's the word of God that is truth. I was reading Genesis chapter 8, verse 22. I told you that this morning. As long as the earth remains, there will be hot, there will be cold, there will be winter, there will be summer, there will be night, there will be day. So I know the earth's not going anywhere until Jesus returns. He's going to make a new earth, because this one's going to melt. Right? With a fervent heat. So knowing that as the truth, what are we fearing, global warming or farting cows? We don't have to. But 95% of what's heating up this earth is water vapor. You know how much of that water vapor is natural, meaning we have no control over it whatsoever? 99.999% of it. But they don't talk about water vapor. Why? Because they know we can't control it. So the other 5% are the other gases, like nitrous oxide and carbon dioxide, methane, these kinds of things. And that's what this whole Green Report is about, these other gases. So out of the other gases, carbon dioxide is the biggest one. Out of that 5%, carbon dioxide makes up 3 point something percent of that 5%. How much of that is natural, though, carbon dioxide? We have no control over whatsoever. 97%. We can control 3% of the 5% of heating up this earth. If you want to put that in a real number, what we can actually make a change on the heating of the earth, 0.112%. And so, out of fear, we want to spend billions and billions of dollars to control 0.11%. It makes no sense whatsoever. It makes none. And so, when we understand the truth of God's word, we can understand we have dominion over this earth. We are supposed to use its resources. We're supposed to be wise. We're not supposed to abuse ever. If we cut down trees to build houses, guess what we need to do? We need to plant more trees. If we use water, what do? We clean the water and we reuse it again. But we are supposed to have dominion over this earth. And so understanding these kinds of things based on God's word, we don't have to walk in fear. I know that the earth is going to last long enough for Jesus to return. And if I die before then I don't really care what happens to the earth. Amen? That's true. I'm sorry. When I'm with Jesus, the earth is an afterthought. But once it's in our heart, we're going to live out of it. If we're not living with the word as our guide and our truth, revealed by the spirit of truth, then what are we living by? Our opinions? Your opinions? Our feelings? Our experiences? Our circumstances? All those can change. I don't have the same opinions about things I used to have. They change. They change every day. They change with every election. They change with everything we go through in our life, man's opinions. And so we can't live by that. We have to understand there's one truth, and it's the word of God. That is the only truth. The word has always been truth. Man is just now catching up. Just now. Even now, they're catching up. The word is already established. If everyone would walk with the word of God in their heart, in the midst of their heart, and they've kept and guarded, we could have avoided some terrible tragedies. We could have avoided some. Let me give you an example here. You ever heard of the practice of bloodletting? You know what bloodletting is, where they use leeches or they used to cut people and let their blood out when they were sick? Okay? This was a practice that lasted all the way to the mid-19th century. So just 150 years ago, they were still doing this process of cutting blood. We have some nurses in here. How many people, when they're sick, you come in and you cut them so they bleed all over the floor to get better, Abby? Any of them? No, we don't. Because science, in all their wonderful wisdom, discovered that's a bad thing. George Washington was healthy 21 hours later, dead. In the process of 21 hours, they let out 40% of his blood to try to heal him. Now science has discovered that sick people need blood. Science has also discovered that in the blood, you can find out all kinds of things about you, like your cholesterol levels and other health things. You can get a whole DNA imprint of people based on their blood now. But if they would have just had the word of God in their heart and they would have kept it, 3,000 years before they stopped letting blood by leeches and cutting, Leviticus already said the life of the flesh was in the blood. If we'd have just trusted the word of God, George Washington might have lived longer. I don't know. But how many people, you know, of that practice? It just ended 150 years ago. Praise God, right? People don't like needles. Imagine just coming up with your knife. Hammer, cut you. You're going to get better. Yeah, that makes sense. Why not? But we could avoid that tragedy. You know, the earth hangs on nothing. It hangs in the middle of space. That was written about in Job. Yet, over 3,000 years later, science was happy they discovered that the earth hangs on nothing. Up to that time, they thought it was riding on the back of a giant turtle. I'm not making this up. Man's opinions change. The word of God does not. If they had read Job and had it in the midst of their heart, they'd also known that the earth was round way before it was discovered by Aristotle, and nobody even believed him. It was still under debate when Christopher Columbus set off on his trek. But it was in Job. It was already there. But what about other tragedies you could have avoided if we had the word of God in our heart? In the mid-19th century, one out of six women died in childbirth. It was a common practice at that time for doctors to do autopsies right before they would go deliver babies. So on the dead women, they would try to figure it out. So when they went to go deliver the new one, they wouldn't die. It was common practice. One out of six, that's 18%, died in childbirth. Some scientists discovered that might not be a good thing. And it dropped to 2%. Just like that, from washing their hands. If they did wash their hands, they did it in a bowl, just to say everybody would dip in the same bowl, and that's what they would wash it in. But 3,000 years before, in Leviticus and in Numbers, it talks about if you touch a dead body, you are unclean for 7 days. You don't go deliver a baby right after that. They didn't have the word of God kept in their heart. It also talks about in Leviticus and Numbers about washing your hands under running water. 3,000 years before, it was discovered that using running water was a good idea. But see, the word of God, see, science is just catching up. We should never get a new scientific fact or discovery out there and be like, oh, man, how do we change the Bible to make sure it fits with what man is saying? No, that's garbage. They're just catching up with what the Bible has already said. How about in London? In London in the 1600s, they had three cholera outbreaks. Over 16,000 people died over these three different cholera outbreaks. Now, cholera, if you don't know, it comes about from unsanitary conditions, okay? From unsanitary conditions. So what was happening was they had no real sewage system, and on the second and third stories, people, their bathroom was just a bucket, and they would just go out to the window and dump it out on the street. It's awesome. I mean, I hate to tell you this, but I've walked home from school, and a bird has gotten me. I couldn't imagine somebody else getting me with a bucket. That would just be horrible. I'm serious. So it was a sanitation disaster here that they're having. But I'm going to have to read this one because it's so good. Over 3,300 years earlier, Deuteronomy talks about this. You put it on the screen for us, Tyler. This is great. The Boy Scouts have had it right forever. Okay? Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 12 says this. You shall have a place also without the camp. Talking about during wartime. Where you shall go forth abroad. And you shall have a paddle upon thy weapon. Little shovel. And it shall be when you will ease yourself, you shall dig and you shall turn back and cover that which came from you. You go in the woods, you dig a hole, you go to the bathroom and you cover it up. If they had read Deuteronomy, had it in their heart, London would have been much cleaner, much safer during the 1600s. I can't make this stuff up, people. It's the truth. But the Bible's always spoken about it. Leviticus is full of sanitation issues. Quarantine. Where did quarantine come from? The Bible spoke about it thousands of years before people understood it was a good idea. But we got to have the word of God in our heart. We could have avoided such needless tragedy. The last one is a guy I want to introduce you to. Maybe you know him, probably don't. His name is Matthew Morey. Now, Matthew Morey was a believer. In fact, there's a statue of him by where his study was, and as he's sitting down, his Bible's sitting right there next to him. He was a believer, and he read Psalm 8:8 that says, God put paths in the sea. He's like, God put paths in the sea. I'm going to find those paths. He believed his word as truth. He was an oceanographer. Today, he's considered the father of oceanography, and he discovered the warm and cold continental currents, and his diagrams, his maps, the truth that was in God's word is still used today, hundreds of years later. That's how we are to be. If we have God's word in our heart, in the midst of our heart, he's already revealing stuff to us, but we have to take his word as truth. So when we read in Proverbs 4:22 that his words and sayings are life to those that find them and health to our flesh, they are medicine to our flesh, we need to be taking God's medicine. We need to be getting his words and his sayings deep in our heart, guarding them there. And out of that, spirit and life and health will flow. That's where we need to be. His word is a seed that needs to be planted. 1 Peter 1:23. I'm going to turn there because I have some notes I think in my Bible I want to read with it. But 1 Peter 1:23 says it like this. Being born again, not of corruptible seed. Now, I know this is speaking of Jesus Christ. But Jesus Christ is called the word of God. And he goes on to say it right after that. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. That means it's never going to perish. By the word of God. which lives and abides forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower fades away. But the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. God's word is seed. This is what needs to be planted in our hearts. This is where we need to be fertile ground for his seed to take effect. This seed never decays, but it needs planting. You know, we plant green bean seeds at home. Well, we haven't in a couple years, but do we still have them in the fridge? We keep them in the fridge. Guess what? They're not going bad. They're just dormant. Seeds are amazing things. Seeds that are thousands of years old. In fact, the oldest living seed, they say, is 30,000 years old. You know, depending on your age, view of the earth, and we'll get into that. It's old. Let's just put it that way. It's still viable. The potency and the power and the life in that seed is still there. They found seeds thousands of years old, planted them, and they still grew a viable plant. God's word is no different, but it is eternal. It is eternal. What does his word need? Like all seeds, though, it needs to be planted. Those green bean seeds are not sprouting in our fridge, praise God. They have to go outside and be planted. They have to have a medium to grow in, and then they have to be watered. That's what we are to do with God's word. We are to mix it with faith. We are to mix it with faith. We are to receive his word, and we are to water it and mix it with faith. Whatever is in our heart, that's where the life's going to come from. We need to get his seed there, and we need to water it so it will grow. We need to get his seed in our hearts. Not just a knowing. A knowing doesn't help us. A knowing is not faith. And your seed's not getting your heart hearing it one time. It's a repetitious thing. It's a repetitious thing. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6-9. Paul talks about this. Let's go there. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6-9. Says you, is that the right one? Yeah, there he goes. Your glorying is not good. Know you not a little leaven? No, that's not right. That's 5, 6. See, I said it, and I read it anyway. How about this? I have planted, Paul is speaking here, this makes more sense. I have planted the incorruptible seed of the word of God, which according to 1 Peter, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that plants anything, nor he that waters, but God, it's always about God, that gives the increase. That's who it's about. Now, he that plants and he that waters are one. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. That word husbandry, you are God's garden. Hence the title. We are, what was the title? Planting God's garden. We're planting ourselves with what? With the word of God, the seed in our hearts, that it may bear fruit and be harvested. Another version says that we are God's farm. You are God's field to be cultivated, another version says. And so, what's he cultivating out of our lives? What are we allowing to grow that's of him and his cultivating? It says Paul planted. That's when you hear it for the first time. Right? Paul, an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, called an apostle. What does an apostle do? He lays foundation. He starts a work, begins a ministry. He's planting the seed. But then they go away. There needs someone to come to water. Apollos came and he watered. Apollos is starting to water and teach on the same anointed words that Paul spoke. Right? My words, my sayings, they are life and they are health. That's what's getting planted, but they need to be watered. Apollos came and he watered. Every time that you hear the same word over and over again, it's being watered. It's being watered. You're like, well, I haven't seen a harvest yet. If it's planted, then keep watering it. It may be the 20th time you hear something and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit brings revelation to it in your life. What happens if you were to quit at 18? What if we were doing a series on healing for 17 weeks and you come and you're on the 16th week and you're like, this is not profiting me, nothing, and you quit and you stop watering. What's going to happen to all the growth that was going on in your life on healing? It's going to wither away and it's going to die. But like any good preacher, or pastor, you need to be cultivated with different types, many different things, not just one. It's up to you to water. It can't just be here once a week. There's not enough weeks. There's 52 weeks. And some of them are already delegated to what they are, right? Like the Christmas week and the Resurrection Day week and the Mother's Day week and the Father's Day week, right? So you're taking these out. Now we're at 48. Oh, And then we have a special thing where, you know, like Oscar's coming and telling us about the work we're getting ready to begin in Honduras. 47. That's not enough watering. You got to do it on your own. You got to value the word of God in your life enough as it's planted to water it, to see it grow, to be it, to see it yield a fruit, to yield a harvest. We need to receive the seed and water it. Our spirit, our heart is the soil that the seed's going to grow in. God works through his word, his seed. We don't have to understand how it grows, but we must plant and water it. Right? If I have a tomato seed, I don't have to understand, nor do you have to understand whether it's a monocot or a dicot. You don't need to know that. Okay? It doesn't make the difference. You don't have to understand how the xylem and phloem work in a plant for it to get food and water. You don't have to have any clue about photosynthesis. And a lot of you don't. But what you do know is you need to take that seed, you need to plant it in the ground and water it in order for you to get a tomato to eat. Right? If you're interested in any of the other stuff, see me later. I know you won't, but that's okay. But it's so simple. If it's a monocot, it has one seed leaf. If it's dicot, it has two seeds. Yeah, that's what's going on. But we don't have to understand God's word the same way. What we do need to understand is God's word is clear. Things reproduce after their own kind. A tomato plant's going to produce a tomato. And a tomato seed is going to give you the plant. A green bean is going to produce a bean. It's the same thing with God's word seeds. If I need healing in my life, I need to plant and get planted in healing in my heart. And I need to water healing. And it's going to reproduce healing after its own kind. If I need peace in my life, I need to plant in my life peace. Go through the scriptures that are peace and read them constantly. Get them before my eyes. Get them in my ears. Ponder and think upon them. Water them until peace manifests itself in my life. Same thing with joy, same thing with victory, same thing with prosperity, all these things. These seeds we need in our heart and we need to water them. That's our part. We have a part to play. We can't just leave it all up to God. God has done what God is going to do. He sent Jesus. We are to take his word, Jesus. We are to mix faith with it and then it profits us. It says in 1 Thessalonians 2:13, I don't think I have that one on there, but I can turn there real quick. It just came to me here. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, for this cause we should thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word, you received the planting of God that you heard. You received not as the word of men, but you received it as what it is, truth. The word of God, which effectually works, it's going to grow. It's going to manifest. It's going to minister and bring about change in your lives to those who believe. You received it as truth. You watered it. It's going to work effectually in your life to bring about change. What seeds are you allowing to be planted? The enemy wants to plant seeds also. He wants to plant seeds of fear and doubt and depression and worry and lack. What's it say in Matthew 13? The farmer went out, he planted the wheat. The enemy went out and he planted the tares. He's a mimicker. He's a copier. I told you a story about the guy I worked with in college who used to just mow his yard and throw wild bird seed over in his neighbor's yard so it'd grow up weeds in his yard. I'm not saying he's a devil, but that was a very devilish thing to do, right? But the enemy wants to plant those seeds too. How do you water a fear seed? You continue to fear. How do you water a worry seed? You continue to worry. What about a doubt seed? Continue to doubt. What about a lack seed? You continue to focus on what you lack. The laws of the kingdom of God, of sowing, reaping, planting, and harvesting are clear throughout the Bible. Jesus uses the example many times, and maybe we'll get to some of those examples, but not today. In fact, praise and worship team, you can go ahead and come on up. We're going to go ahead and end this. I'm laying a foundation. I want you to understand these simple points. One, God's words, God's sayings need to have a higher place in our life. A lot of times, as Pastor mentioned, we go and we travel for experience to experience. God has given us all the experience we need right here if we will believe and trust and get it planted. Then in faith, when we go to other places and other ministries and other outpourings, we are not just a receiver but a contributor because of what's been planted in our hearts. But we have to have it planted in our hearts. So many of us want God to speak to us in a new and a different and exciting way, but yet we haven't heard a lick of what he's already said to us in his word. That's our part. You're like, well, I don't like to read. Get it on CD. You know, I have an app in my Bible. If I had the little speaker, she speaks to me. The word of God. And you can even change that voice if you don't like the one that it is. And you can hear it. I travel. I drive. And I'll listen. But we have to give it place in our life. It's not just, oh, I'm going to read my Bible today, and then I'm going to move on. Let me get it out of the way. Let me check that box. Or like today, maybe somebody asked you how was church. Oh, it was good. Our good little, you know, associate pastor, he gave a good word today, and then you move on. Well, you're just checking the box. You're not giving heed to the Word of God. What is the Word of God saying to you? Just believe this one thing today. His words, His sayings are life and health. They're medicine for you. How are you taking your medicine? If a doctor were to give you a pill and said, make sure you take all of it 3 times a day for 3 weeks, you do it. What about God's word? What about His word? Jesus said, my words are spirit and life to you. There's no such thing as a good dryness. I just feel dry. Dryness is not of God. We, as a farm, should be watered, well watered. Like the tree that's planted near the stream, where the roots don't have to go that deep because eventually you just find their way into the stream. That tree is always watered, always bearing fruit, always lush. That's how we are to be with our roots in the Word of God, in who Jesus is. Who that's what the Word is revealing to us. This is, and again, I can't get away from it. This is why I'm so passionate about knowing who you are in Jesus Christ. You are said multiple times, rooted and grounded in Jesus. Colossians 2, 6 and 7. And then built up in Jesus. Bearing what? Bearing Jesus fruit. I want to bear some Jesus fruit. I don't want to bear ugly fruit. I know it's a real thing too. It just worked out both ways right there. I want to have Jesus fruit. If we need a harvest, we need to get planted and to get to watering it. How do we water it? Let's give some practical applications here. I'm going back to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. How do we water the seeds that are planted in our hearts? My son, attend to my words. That means pay attention. I read it in the other versions, right? In the Living Bible, it said, listen, son of mine, to what I say. Listen carefully. New Century Version, pay attention to my words. Listen closely to what I say. That's watering. That's watering. It's not reading the Bible while the kids are yelling at you. It's okay to lock the door and keep them out. Or better yet, when they're at school, you know, get your time alone with the Lord. If you homeschool them, you might have to get up early before they wake up. You might have to do it after they go to bed. But you need a time that's separate so you can pay attention to what the Lord is wanting to speak to you. Every time you open His word, you're like, I need a word from you, Lord. Here it is. Every time you open His word and you ask the Holy Spirit to reveal it to you and to pay attention, if you're reading and you start nodding off, say, Holy Spirit, that's no good. I need your help to stay awake. I want to hear what you have for me in my life because these words are spirit and they are life, and I need them for me. And then He goes on to say, let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. The word incline, it says, incline thine ear to my sayings. It literally means to pitch a tent. It means stop what you're doing right there, make your camp, and stay a while. That's incline your ears to His saying. It's stay a while. You guys do pretty good. Nobody usually runs out in the middle of us, you know, preaching. I thank you for that. But stay a while with Him and His time and what He has for you to receive. It says, let them not depart. It means don't let them be lost from your view. It means they're always right here in front of your face. Always. Like the mule in those old cartoons, right? And they put the carrot out, and that's all he focused on, that carrot right in front of him. Just have the Word of God right there in front of you always. He says, keep them in the midst of your heart. That means to guard them. It means don't let anybody steal them from you. Don't let anything take those seeds out of your heart. But this is how we water them. We pay attention. We stay a while. We keep them in front of us always. We need to give the Word first priority. We need to give the Word prime, undistracted attention. If we're not doing it with His words, we are doing it with something else, and it's usually the problem. And you may say, there's no way I can think about His word all day long. You're already thinking about something all day long. Why can't it be His words? Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. What did it say? It's on the screen. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according what all that is written, for there shall make your ways prosperous. And you have good success. His words are spirit and life and health. they make your way prosperous, and you're going to have good success. We need to keep looking at until we see. We need to keep listening to his word until we hear it. We need to keep thinking and pondering on his word until we understand it. It's not because it's so terribly complicated that we can't get it, or we're so dull and dense. That's a lie from the enemy. You and I have the mind of Christ. But we do have an enemy, it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, who's trying to blind us and keep us in a darkened understanding. We do have a world that is really good at distracting. And this is why we have to keep them in front of our eyes continually. This is why we have to ponder them and think upon them and dwell upon them until they get in our hearts and we're living out of them. I'll tell you what you have faith on. Keith Moore says it like this. I know you're in faith when you're excited about something. What are you excited about right now in your life? That shows what you have faith for. I'll give you a natural example. I was real excited to go see Purdue play for the first time in Mackey Arena for 12 years. I was excited the whole 2 weeks going up because I had faith that I was going to go watch them play. That's natural. Right now I'm excited to bring to you the importance of God's word in your life, how we need to get it planted in there to live out of. We need to cultivate God's field, God's farm. He gives the increase. We need to be planting and watering so he can bring about the increase. That's our part. We get it planted, we water it, and he brings the increase. We are God's garden, and out of the heart, life comes. Life comes from his words, and we cultivate it, and it gives increase to it. We need to keep it in front of us in faith. His words, life, light, healing, and health. Please stand with me. There's different ways we can receive his word. I don't know where next week brings, but I know this. We're going to talk about God's word. We're going to talk about God's word being seed. You need to plant it in your life. We're going to talk about cultivating God's word to bring about a harvest in your life. Think about it. How many of you are here today? I don't know, 120 maybe. I'm just guessing. I usually count you when I'm up there, by the way. So I have a good guess. More than most, maybe not Beth. The Bible says there are four types of ground. 75%, three out of the four did not cultivate any harvest. Right? The wayward, the stony, the thorny. 75% of us in here, what did you get today? What does the Holy Spirit want to speak to you today? Maybe it's nothing I said. Maybe it's something that he said during worship. Hold on to it. It's planted. That's the first time. Now water it. Whatever he said when pastor was speaking, water it. What he said during worship, what he said during the word, water it. Keep it before your eyes. Guard it in your heart. Pay attention to it. Listen closely to it. It is health. It is medicine to all of your flesh. You didn't talk about healing today. All his words are health and life and medicine to your flesh. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you that your word is truth. God, help us get a revelation that there's nothing new the world can discover that you do not already know. Father, help us get a revelation that there's no one smarter than you out there. There's no science, fact, or discovery that goes against your word, for only your word is truth. Help us be that be the first seed that is planted and watered today. Your word and your word only is truth. God, then help us to water in our lives that your words, your sayings, are spirit, as you said, Jesus, and life, that they are healing and health to all our flesh today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let the king of my heart be the mountain where I run, the fountain I drink from. Oh, he is my song. And let the king of my heart be the shadow where I hide, the ransom for my life. Oh, he is my song. For you are good, good, Lord. And you are good, good, Lord. You are good, you're good, and oh. And you are good, good, and oh. The king of my heart, be the fire inside my veins, the echo of my days. Oh, he is my song, for you are good, good, and oh, and you are good, you're good, and oh. Gonna let me down, and
We just thank you, Jesus. Father, we know that you are good. As we go today, I just pray, Holy Spirit, that you would show us throughout the rest of today and this week the importance of your word, and that you would bring to remembrance a seed that's planted in our heart that maybe we forgot to water or we let go. You renew it in our hearts and bring it to the forefront, that we would water it again and remind us of how excited we were about that seed, that we would see it grow again and bear fruit in our lives, in Jesus' name. Be blessed as you go.
You are good. You're good. good.